We began the season of Advent. Advent comprises those 4 weeks before the celebration of Christmas. And the word Advent actually comes to us from Latin, the word advenio, which means coming or to come. Advent's a season of waiting, waiting for the Messiah to come. And we mark each week by lighting a candle on the Advent wreath. Hope, peace, joy, and love. Now this season of Advent, we've entered into a sermon series that I've entitled Name Calling. And let me assure you, name calling is not about nicknames. It's about focusing on the specific names that Isaiah gave to the child who was to be born. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. These are not mere nicknames. These are names that carry meaning. They're names that carry significance. Walter Brueggemann wrote a book entitled Names for the Messiah. And that's where I got some of the idea for this series. And I'd like to share with you what he writes about the child who was to be born. Words that had meaning years ago when they were written. Words that have meaning now for us. And he said that the one to be born was to have steadfast power to resist every threat and so make his people safe. The king is expected to have uncommon courage and power in the execution of the royal office. If you remember, Judah faced impending threats from the nation of Syria. They needed a king who trusted not in themselves, not in their power, not in foreign alliances, but someone who trusted in God. However, the king of Judah of that time didn't listen to Isaiah's counsel and ignored God's rightful authority. And we sit here and we say, well, shame on him. He shouldn't have done that. That was bad. He knew better than that. But think about it. How often do we choose to depend on our own strength? How often do we choose to depend on our own knowledge and think that we know best how to navigate the waters of our lives and then find ourselves in trouble? And then find ourselves powerless to resist the threats that confront us. Isaiah tells us that there is one who is coming who will be called Mighty God. He will have the power and the authority to make things right and to keep us safe. And the question for us today is, will we heed his counsel? Will we heed his counsel? So I'd like you to follow along as I read from Isaiah chapter 9. And I'm going to start at verse 2 and read all the way through verse 7. Verses that we don't usually read. We like to start with the one that begins with it and we end with the last two, but we skip what's in the middle. Listen to God's word. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. And then the words we love. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Gracious God, thank you for your words of promise and hope from the prophet Isaiah. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together, that they might bring joy and be pleasing to you. Lord, help us to hear your word and not simply hear it, but help us to listen and to obey. Lord, you're coming again. We look forward to that day and we ask that you would help us to be ready. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So ponder that name with me if you would. Mighty God. In Hebrew, it's El Gabur. Say that with me if you would. El Gabur. Mighty God. Just like I said last week about Wonderful Counselor, this is a compound title. The name El means God, and the word Gabur means mighty. It's a further way to describe who God is. The Hebrew word Gabur is used 160 times in the Old Testament, and it's commonly associated with warfare and describes the strength and the vitality of a successful warrior. Now, some scholars over the years have said, well, you know, this title simply refers to kind of a godlike hero with a small g, maybe a superhero. We like superheroes, don't we? In fact, I think we're obsessed with superheroes in our culture. I mean, I remember the days of coming home after school and watching Superman, right? More powerful than a locomotive, faster than a speeding bullet, able to leap buildings in a single bound. Look, up in the air, it's a bird, it's a plane. No, it's Superman. And the music starts, and we love it, right? Because he makes everything right. He brings justice. We love superheroes. Underdog, Mighty Mouse, Spider-Man, Iron Man, Thor, all of these superheroes, and I didn't even know their names until a few minutes ago. They exhibit feats of strength and fighting prowess. These superheroes originated from kind of semi-deity or semi-divine heroes and legends, myths and legends. They're found in the Bible. Think Samson, Elijah, David and Goliath. And they're also found in early literature. But they really came to life in the 20th century with comic strips. All right? We read the comic strips. They came on radio and then TV and film. And now we have them in video games. Superheroes. We love superheroes. We've got an obsession with them. They make everything come out right. Or at least we hope they do. However, in the Hebrew, El Gabur does not refer to a superhero. That phrase appears two other times in the Old Testament. In Isaiah 10:21, a remnant will return, a remnant of Jacob will return to the mighty God. It's also used in Jeremiah 32:18, the great and mighty God whose name is the Lord Almighty. Now, isn't that interesting that mighty God is linked with the Lord Almighty? The Lord Almighty is translated in the scriptures for us with capital letters. Can we go to that? Like that, small caps. And what that means is that is the word Yahweh. Remember the word Yahweh in the Old Testament? That is the name that was revealed to Moses at the burning bush. I am who I am. That is the mighty God. The Hebrew word is used of the Lord Almighty. It's used in Psalm 24. The song that we sang at the beginning of our worship service today was taken from Psalm 24. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord, all caps, strong and mighty. Now, Isaiah, when he uses that term, mighty God, is not referring to a superhero. On the contrary, he is referring to the Lord of all. He is referring to the one who gave power to Samson and Elijah and David. He is the one who is coming. Make yourself ready for the mighty God. Now, ponder with me, if you would, the authority and power that come along with that. Last week, we looked at the wonder and awe of the wonderful counselor. Today, I want us to ponder the authority and power of the mighty God. The mighty God is more powerful than any god our culture can conjure up, or create, or manufacture. The mighty God is given more authority than any lord in our culture. His power and authority cause men and women, seekers, skeptics, and cynics to wonder, who is this? Who is this child to be born? Who is this man? Do me a favor. Take the pew Bibles that are there in front of you and open up to the Gospel of Mark. I want to show you a little bit about the power and the authority of this child that was to be born. Mark, in the first verse, identifies Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ. And a few verses later, John the Baptizer, not John the Baptist, that's not a denominational issue, it's what he does. John the Baptizer says of Jesus, "Come after me comes one who is more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie." That tells us something. Skip down to verse 22. He taught with authority. He was teaching, and then there was a man there who was possessed by an impure spirit. The impure spirit cries out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." Jesus addresses the spirit sternly. He says, "Be quiet. Come out of him." The impure spirit shakes the man violently and comes out with a shriek. What is the response of the people who are there? What is this? A new teaching? With authority? He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him. Who is this man? The mighty God. The mighty God who has power to deliver not only then, but power to deliver us even now from whatever holds us back from who we were created to be. Go to chapter 2 in Mark. There's a house packed with people who want to see Jesus. And there's four men who are bringing a friend who is paralyzed. They cut a hole in the roof because there's not room to get in to get their friend to Jesus. Now, can you imagine if somebody cut a hole in the roof of our sanctuary and lowered someone down? I mean, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, there'd be sheetrock or plaster and wood and insulation, hopefully insulated. Are we insulated? That stuff would come down and you guys would be coughing and stuff would be in your face. That's what to picture. That's what's going on. And so here we have this man brought in front of Jesus. Mark notes this. Jesus saw their faith. Not the faith of the paralyzed man. The faith of the friends. And he said to the man who was paralyzed, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Those are things that make you want to scratch your head and say, "What? What's going on here?" But it didn't stop there. Consider for a minute, what would Jesus like to do in your friends because of your faith? That's something to think about. What would Jesus like to do in the lives of your friends because of your faith? That's what's going on here. The religious leaders were ticked. All right? The elders, the priests, those folks, they were mad. I mean, who is Jesus? I mean, who can forgive sins? They're like, only God can forgive sin. Who does this guy think he is? And Jesus replies, which is easier? Your sins are, which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven? Or get up, take up your mat, and walk. Except it's not just one of those questions that Jesus asks and leaves out there. He goes further. He says, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. I tell you, take up your mat and walk. And the guy does. Do you ever see that? I've seen it a few times. It's real. It's the power of the mighty God at work. But the reaction? Who is this man? He has the power to forgive sins. He has the power to heal. Skip to Mark 4. Coming toward the end of the chapter, the winds and the waves are tossing the boat in which Jesus and his disciples are in. And again, this is one of those things you can't make up again. Jesus is asleep. Have you ever been in a boat in a storm? You know how disconcerting that is, how disorienting and how scary that is. The disciples do what I think I would do if I was there. I wake them up and say, Jesus, do something, right? He speaks three words, quiet, be still. The winds cease and the waves calm. What's their response? The disciples say, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Who is this man? This is the mighty God who has the power and the authority to calm the chaos, not only of the seas and the winds, but the chaos in our lives each day. You get the point. Jesus is the child to be born. Jesus is the mighty God. Jesus is the Messiah sent from God in the flesh. Make your life ready for the mighty God. What does it mean that Jesus is the mighty God? Take a moment and ponder the following. Have you felt that someone or something is holding power over you and your life? Call out to the mighty God, Jesus of Nazareth. He's able to deliver you. He has the authority to help you be the person you were created to be. Are you paralyzed by a choice that you've made or a behavior that keeps you from living life to the fullest? Call out to the mighty God, Jesus the Messiah. He has authority to forgive your sins. Do the situations that you face each day in your life cause you to fear and to think that Jesus doesn't know what I'm going through? Jesus doesn't see what I'm going through? Jesus doesn't hear my cries for help? Come close. Come close and discover who this man is. And pray the prayer that people have prayed for centuries. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I can't just leave it at the personal. Because Jesus didn't come simply for us to have a personal relationship with him. Jesus came that we might, as a people, as a community of faith, be molded and shaped by Him and be at work in the world to bring change. My friends, we live in a culture that is imprisoned by something called the opioid crisis. We need a mighty God to come and release people from the power of addiction. We live in a world where people don't have food. It's great that we have a food bank here, a pantry, where we provide food for over 100 families a week. We've been doing that for over 27 years. What's the root cause? Why has that not been alleviated in our community? And we learned this week that we don't have clean water. Why is that? My friends, I would suggest that there are systemic issues in our culture, in our community, and in our world that Jesus has the power as the mighty God to come and to bring change. That's who our God is. And our God wants to work in us and through us to help make that happen. Either now or in the future, we're going to have to come to grips with the fact of who the mighty God is. And make no mistake, we are not the ones who command the power or the authority of God. Power and authority belong ultimately to God. And He's coming again. He's not just coming to visit, He's going to take up residence. Make your life ready for the mighty God. When we as followers of Jesus Christ yield to His authority in our lives, we are empowered to answer the questions that the world has asked throughout history and is still asking today. Who is this man? The one who demons obey, the one who heals and forgives, the one who is able to calm the storms and make the winds cease. This is not just a superhero of myth or legend. This is someone who is far beyond a superhero of myth and legend. We're talking about the God of gods. We're talking about the Lord of lords. We are talking about the Mighty One who not only has the power and authority to act, He's not afraid to act in our lives and in the world. He's coming again, not just for a visit. He's coming to stay and make this world right and set things right. Make your life ready for the mighty God. Let's pray together.